trusting once again in the help of the Lord, we'll turn to Psalm number 9 and verse 10. The 9th Psalm and the 10th verse. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The 9th Psalm and the 10th verse. The Holy Spirit in the Scriptures of Truth hath left in those sacred pages some wonderful and precious names, not only of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but also more particularly, perhaps, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And undoubtedly, and these particular names, and that the Holy Spirit had seen fit to place in this holy record that we believe we are thankful, and that they have been preserved to us to this very present time, especially when we consider perhaps just a few of those wondrous names which undoubtedly have throughout all generations, they have been made so precious and beautiful and to God's dear people to rejoice in their hearts and to rejoice in their Lord and Saviour who hath so wondrously made himself known in those particular and those most blessed accounts and where the sweet Saviour of his name is as ointment poured forth, and to more particularly, of course, to that awful malady of sin. Now, the dear psalmist, without going into too finer details, the psalmist comes to a great point in this ninth psalm, where he says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." There is only those, dear friends, and that the Lord will make his name known, who will put their trust, or we can look at this without any violation, I believe, to the word, because very often, more particularly perhaps in the Old Testament, trust is put for faith, and so there's no violation of the word, I do not think for one moment, that put their faith in thee. It would not be prudent, my dear friends, would it, for you and I to put our trust in anything, and whether in nature or providence or the things in the home or the things in business, we cannot put our trust in anything unless there is a certain knowledge granted unto us. But dear friends, what an unspeakable mercy. Because we can look at it in this way. Perhaps there may be one, or there may be more, before me this evening, and that they feel to know so little of that precious and that glorious name of Jesus. Well, dear friend, can we ask ourselves this question? In that knowledge that the Lord hath favoured you and I with, hath it brought us under market, under the sweet influence and the light of the Holy Spirit. You see, I fear, and that there are many, and that have a nominal knowledge of the name of the Lord. But I believe that those people that only have a nominal knowledge of the Lord, they can never put their trust in them, because and there are things that they feel are far more trustworthy than this wonderful name. But can we come together here, the younger ones, and also the older ones that are here with us, can we say we have been brought to trust that trustworthy name of Jesus, and to trust in Him? Now, what an unspeakable mercy! There must have been by the Blessed Spirit, because this is that only way, dear friends, and that you and I will come into a saving knowledge of the Lord by the teaching and the light and the influence of that good Spirit who hath undertaken such a great work for such sinners as you and I. And then secondly, We are not of course bringing before you something that is secondary. We are laying before ourselves this evening something that is of the greatest and the greatest importance in your life and also in mine. For in that wonderful intercessory prayer that the dear Lord prayed unto his Father just prior to his being crucified, thinking of course not of that great work and all that he had undertaken, his uppermost thoughts, if you read that 17th chapter of John, were on his dear people, and he would have them come to a saving knowledge of Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So he lays this wonderful truth before his dear people, not only before his dear people at that time, but before his dear people in every generation, and where he says, and this is life eternal. What is life eternal? Well, we are not left to conjecture. It lays plainly before us, that they might know thee and the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Oh, dear friends, could we just pause there for one brief moment? And can we not say, dare we say, that we have not the slightest knowledge of what I just read, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom who God sent? Dare you and I deny a little of that work of grace? That's what it is. It's a work of grace that the dear Lord hath begun in your heart, dear young friend. Do not despise it. And here the psalmist says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Well, dear friend, as so often we feel, the older one gets, one reads out a text, and one feels it is so inexhaustible, and one hardly knows and where to begin. But I trust that it may be made under the influence of the Holy Spirit, just a little help and comfort and blessing unto us while we meet together for worship in His great name. Now, you know, when the dear man of God went up the second time unto Mount Zion, and with those tables of stone, we read this. Of course, I'm omitting some out. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Could we have, my dear friends, a more wonderful, striking, and a more beautiful proclamation of the name of the dear Lord? For he goes on to say, and the Lord passed by before him, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful. Oh, what a beautiful name this is. And you will find, dear friends, that if you pursue this a little, perhaps in your spare time that you may have, and those wonderful names are left in the scripture, you will find there's something constant in all those names, and that is, and they are all suitable to sinners such as you and I. And could there be a more suitable name and for the dear Lord and to make known to his dear people? And when he says, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful. And dare we say, dear friends, that we have known nothing of the mercy of the dear Lord. That is, of course, we would not, of course, exclude the mercy that the dear Lord hath shown to us nationally on Monday evening. But I don't want to, I want to be grateful and thankful concerning how he showed his name merciful in that respect to those, of course, and that think they are the mighty ones and they can do what they like, but they know nothing, my dear friends, of the will, the purpose, the appointments and the decrees of Almighty God. And also how he shows his mercy in innumerable ways unto his dear people. But of course, the greatest mercy is Zacchaeus, when the dear Lord opened his mouth after he had been struck dumb, and we read this amongst other things that he says. He speaks of the promised mercy. Mercy, and that was shown to the fathers, referring unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming and his birth and all that great work that he had undertaken in his shortyship office. Now, dear friend, dare you and I say before a holy heart searching God that we know nothing of the mercy of God. Oh, dear friends, what an unspeakable mercy. If the dear Lord has shown you, as the dear apostle speaks of, he speaks of an unspeakable gift. What a mercy, dear friends, that is. But of course, I cannot carry on. I just want to touch on one or two things, but may we be able to see this. That he's a merciful God. And let me just add this, it comes to mind. Have you and I been brought to trust in his mercy. That's a wonderful favour, dear friends. To be brought to trust in his mercy. Will that soul go wrong? Will that soul be utterly banished from his sight? Never, my dear friends. There will be never a soul that will be banished into eternal perdition that had been brought to trust in his mercy. Well, then the second thing is that what the Lord proclaimed concerning his name, he is not only merciful but gracious. Oh, that gracious God. He's a God of grace. And do we not have our hearts, my dear friend, or our souls, from time to time, being touched with his gracious hand? You may say, perhaps, one of you younger, or perhaps there may be one or two, what really is this that he is gracious? I want to just put it in this way, dear friends. He is favourable unto his dear people. And he's favourable in that way through his well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. All those favours, dear friends, and I do not want to exclude the favours that we enjoy in providence, but I know the time would not permit me to expound these many mercies and now his grace. But do we know something, dear friends, of that gracious God? That grace, we could begin, dear friends, like this. Do we know anything of that grace of regeneration? Oh, dear friends, to feel that the dear Lord hath not left us to fill up the measure of our days in sin and be cast into that horrible pit, but he hath visited us with that regenerating grace. And we know this: he who hath begun a good work, and is there a better work and then the grace of God or the favours of God? He hath begun this good work will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Our text here, let's read: and they that know thy name and will put their trust in thee. Have you not, my dear friends, been many times, and I trust you, dear younger friends, we may know it more and more as you continue along life's pathway, in this particular way, as it comes to your mind, you know the case equally as well as what I do. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He thought, of course, that the most profitable and best way would be to remove that. But, dear friends, the dear Lord had another way which was far greater. He says, "My grace is all sufficient for you." Have you not proved it, dear friends? Dare I say before you that I've never proved his all-sufficient grace? I dare not. And we trust that we are not deceived in this great matter. Now, you see, our text goes on, and that they that know the Lord to be gracious, they will put their trust in thee. Look at that time of affliction. Look at that time, dear friends, when the Lord tried your faith. Look at that time when there was a time of tribulation. Look at that time and when there were those losses and those crosses, and that came into your path, and the temptations of the adversary and were sore against you. Did you not prove, and have I not proved, the all sufficient grace of the dear Lord Jesus, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Dear friends, but I don't think anyone will be offended with me if I say this. The very best of us are such poor scholars. We have to be taught time and time again, because so very often when a trouble, a trial or affliction, and what the Lord sees to put of an adverse nature in our path, and sometimes we fly to anything but the dear Lord Jesus. What an unspeakable mercy. He brought the dear Apostle Paul back to rely and trust in that unmerited and yet wondrous all sufficient grace. Well, thirdly, the Lord made his name known to Moses in this way. Or in another way, not only merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Oh, here is a point, my dear friends, and whereby I believe God's dear people, they may from time to time stand amazed at the long-sufferingness of the dear Lord, and why he hath not cast them off. But the dear psalmist, a little of in our opening hymn, he hath not dealt with me according to my sins or according to my transgressions. Look at how long suffering the dear Lord has been to us. He has still maintained us. He has still helped us, and he has undertaken to be that present help in our time of need. And yet, dear friends, we see traced through the whole of our lives a long-suffering Lord. If we had treated a person else very often, we had treated the Lord, they'd have never wanted to see us anymore. But the Lord, my dear friends, his name is long-suffering. And those that know, you see, it could be a hindrance to some poor souls who perhaps desire and they've been brought back perhaps a little like the prodigal, and to ever think they could put their trust in the Lord, how they have dealt so wrongfully with him. But the dear Lord says this: they that know my name will put not and perhaps will they will be brought to put their trust in it, and it will humble you and I under the mighty hand of God to see how the dear Lord's long sufferingness had been meted out to us. And then not only his long suffering, but he's been abundant in goodness and truth. Can we not, dear friends, as we've gathered together and as I've come before you on this annual visit and wishing you and God's blessing, can we not look back over the 12 months, and has there not been, as we have said, hitherto I raise my Ebenezer here by the help I've got. Look at the goodness and the truth, and that the dear Lord hath been made known unto us, all for this one great purpose and end, that they that know my name will put their trust in they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Now, What a wonderful benefit. We perhaps look back over our lives. Let's just for a moment look forward and see in our little lives how the dear Lord hath been so wondrously merciful, how he's been so gracious unto us, how he's been so long-suffering and patient toward us, and not only his long suffering, but he's been abundant in goodness and truth. Here I raise my Ebenezer, thus far the dear, and you see what the dear Lord has been. We know, as the dear Apostle Paul, writing to the Hebrews, says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust him, as of course faith is given. And as faith is enabled to look backward, as faith is sometimes enabled to look forward, and that soul being brought to trust in that wondrous name, the name of the dear Lord, in all its strikingness, its beauty, its comfort, and all those things that the dear Lord hath made known concerning his glorious name. They that know thy name and will put their trust in thee, and as of course as we view that last great enemy that we have all we shall all one day have to face, unless of course there is that time when the dear Lord will appear the second time, I do not know. But normally, as it were, shall I say that? Probably not quite the word. We've all got to face that last great enemy. They that know my name will put their trust, all their faith in thee. And they who have proved the faithfulness of God. And I do trust that when we come, whether we are older or younger, that we may leave a wonderful example for those that follow, and to see how the dear Lord has so wondrously and faithfully dealt with us at last, and now we trust that he will bring us in unto his eternal glory. But of course there are one or two other things that I just briefly want to bring before you, and those things that have I trust the Holy Spirit have brought me just to speak of. You are familiar with of course the case of Moses when the dear Lord called him to go unto Pharaoh and to seek the relief of the liberty of the children of Israel, and of course dear Moses to leave of course much out, he says who shall I say that who hath sent me? Now, the dear Lord spoke, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say to answer them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, and this shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now, of course, they're very sweet, simple, but profound words that the dear Lord hath addressed himself in respect unto his own name. Now, if we just look very, very briefly and through the scriptures, we notice, I can only go how that I trust the dear Holy Spirit will direct me. In that wonderful chapter, the 10th of John, where the dear Lord is speaking, he says, I am the door. That door, my dear friends, into the sheepfold. They that know my name, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Is it not, my dear friends, a great concern? You see, it speaks of others climbing up and entering into another way. They are all thieves and robbers. And you may have thought perhaps a time or two that's you or me. We're thieves and robbers. But what has the Lord said? I am the door. Or that wondrous door into the fold, dear friend, into the church of God here below, which shall terminate in the church of God triumphant above, where the dear Lord said, I am that door. He received that soul, and then of course he goes on to say no further down that chapter, I am the Good Shepherd. Or do we not know something, my dear friends, of that one, I am the Good Shepherd? Have you not sought, you perhaps sought for it today, for the Lord to guide you and to protect you and to go before you? You feel to be so uncertain, and there seems to be so many dangers and so many things that you have to combat with. But the dear Lord says, I am, they that know my name will put their trust. It will not be a trust whereby we shall say, oh, I'm all right, I put my trust in the Lord. You'll want to see the dear Lord, and you'll want to feel and know this faith in him, and by the gift of the dear Lord in that once crucified but now exalted Saviour. And of course there are many others where we can see where he says, I am. I can only be very brief and just leave these things for perhaps your further meditation. They that know my name, thy name, will put their trust in thee. I am the resurrection. Oh, dear friends, here is that beautiful doctrine of the resurrection. What would be, my dear friends, all our religion if it were not for the resurrection of the dear Lord? But he resurrects in that way whereby his dear people and they have that new life and they become new creatures. Old things are passed away and all other things appear. And the Lord says, I am thy resurrection. Another point, dear friends, and where we find the dear Lord saying, I am, he says, I am that bread of life that cometh down from heaven. Oh, that wondrous bread, and that the Lord refers to in himself, that broken body that was broken for you. And he that eateth this bread, and drink it, and this wine of the new kingdom, they shall never perish. And the Lord had provided himself as that wondrous bread for faith to feast upon. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. The Lord hath, I'm smothering over these things. I cannot stay too long on any one particular thing, but I just want to bring before you another great point. And what the dear Lord says when he was here upon this earth, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, dear friends, how suited that is. Poor, troubled, exercise, cast down soul, whatever those things are, and there are many things within and from without, and that cause us many concerns. There are many doubts and there are many fears, and that fill our poor hearts and minds. And but when we think of that, of what the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus have left in his word, there may be one perhaps that may have felt that they are in completely the wrong way. Now the dear Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That life, my dear friends, that the Lord speaks of himself when he says, because I live, ye shall live also. Can we not then, dear friends, as faith is given, you and I cannot produce that faith, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and when that soul is being fed under the ministry of the word, and his faith or her faith is a little enlarged, and they see the beauty and the preciousness of those wonderful names, and those names that are left in the Song of Solomon concerning the glorious bridegroom. He says, I am thyself. Salvation, or what an unspeakable mercy. Poor, doubting, tried, exercised soul, what a wonderful thing it is that the dear Lord hath made himself a complete Saviour, a complete Redeemer. He shed that precious blood, and he had opened that way up unto heaven in his own blood. He's opened that way to a throne of mercy and grace, and they that know his name will know that he is that faithful, good, and abundant in goodness and truth, where that soul comes in faith to seek him. Because you see, our text closes, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. You see, this wouldn't have been the case. These words would have never been put in the scriptures if there were not those many fears of God's dear people. Although they may have known his name in some measure, and they have known what it has been to put their trust or faith in him, but we have a cruel, devouring adversary. And that would, if he could, he would devastate our souls. But the dear Lord has said to those seeking seed of Israel, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He has not said to seeking seed of Israel, seek ye my face in vain. And so poor seeker, and of course, we shall not get above seekers while we are here upon this earth. There will be much for the dear Lord and to that we have to seek unto the dear Lord, lay our wants before him, and of course that wonderful word, dear friends, of Christ. Christ, my dear friends, is a very precious word in the Scripture. I'm as guilty as anyone here. We may so easily slip over that word. Christ is the anointed of Jehovah in those two natures, his divine nature and his human nature. And until we see God in that human nature, no thoughts can comfort my mind. The three in one are terrors to my mind, as the hymn writer says. But once, my dear friends, we see Christ, that is, in his divine nature, to put an excellency on all that he hath done, and that human nature that suffered, bled, and died. Here we see, we shall come to him, my dear friend, and he says, I will not forsake them. Now the words then, dear friends, that I just want to leave with you this evening are found in the last but one verse in the first epistle of John, where we have these words, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, and that we may know him, and that is true, and we are in him, that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Then he comes to this great point. This is life eternal. Oh, dear friends, I say it's no triviality, is it? And where we can read, this is the true God and eternal life. May the dear Lord grant to us each that saving knowledge, that we may trust in him. And although there will be those blows and those temptations of the adversary, that we cannot forsake him, because Jesus Christ, the only foundation for sinners such as we are, and in the hope of eternal life. But there I must leave it. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. The Lord bless those few remarks. Amen.
Shall we conclude by singing hymn number 462? The tune is Praise My Soul, 682. Hymn number 462. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me now and evermore. Hymn number 462.
would desire to commit one of the dear friends here who is in hospital. And we do pray, dear Lord, that the medication may be made beneficial unto him. And may these things be sweetly sanctified for the good of his never dying soul and his family. We commit them into thy good care, and may thy blessing rest upon them. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, be with us now and for ever and ever. Amen.